6. Leffe de Spantelli was trying desperately to remember the name of the lass he was with. Geltry, Husper, Stemlai. Oh, yes, yes, fuck. Cats, yes, more, more, now. Yes, there, there. Yes, that's, oh. Solai, Ketrin, Asko. Oh, fuck, there. More, harder. Right, right, now. Ah. Selas, Serea. Creep, how ungallant of him. Oh, sweet providence, oh, fuck. No wonder he couldn't think of her name. The girl was kicking up such a racket, he was surprised he could think at all. Still, a chap shouldn't grumble, he supposed. Always nice to be appreciated. Even if it was the yacht that was doing most of the work. The diminutive high yacht continued to shudder and buck beneath them, spiraling and curving through space a few hundred kilometers away from the huge stepped world that was Tyr. Leffid had used these little yachts for this sort of thing before. If you fed a nicely jagged course into their computers, they'd do most of the bumping and grinding for you, while leaving just enough apparent gravity to brace oneself without leaving one feeling terribly heavy. Programming in the odd power-off interval gave moments of delicious free-fall and drew the small craft further away from the great world, so that gradually the view beyond the viewing ports increased in majesty, as more and more of the conical habitat was revealed, turning slowly and glittering in the light of the system's sun. Altogether, a wonderful way of having sex, really, providing one found a suitable and willing partner. Oh, 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 force, push, 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 yes. She held his thrusting hips, smoothed his feathered scalp, and used her other hand turned out to stroke his lower belly. Her huge dark eyes glittered, myriad tiny lights sparkling somewhere inside them in pulsing vortexes of color and intensity that varied charmingly with the intensity of her pleasure. Come on, yes, come on up, further, further. Ah! Damn it all, what was her name? Geldry. Shokas, Hesail. Grief, what if it wasn't even a culture name? He'd been certain it was, but now he was starting to think maybe it wasn't after all. That made it even more difficult. More excusable maybe too, but certainly more difficult too. They'd met at the Hamondan ambassador's party to celebrate the start of the 645th festival of Tyr. He'd resolved to have his neural lace removed for the month of the festival, deciding that as this year's theme was primitivism, he ought to give up some aspect of his amendments. The neural lace had been his choice, because, although there was no physical alteration, and he looked just the same to everybody else, he reckoned he'd feel more different. Which he did. It was oddly liberating to have to ask things or people for information, and not know precisely what the time was and where he was located in the habitat. But it also meant that he was forced to rely on his own memory for things like people's names. And how imperfect was the unassisted human memory he'd forgotten. He'd even thought of having his wings removed too, at least partly to show that he was taking part in the spirit of the festival, but in the end he'd stuck with them. Probably just as well. This girl had made a big thing about the wings, headed straight for him, masked, body glittering. She was nearly as tall as he was, perfectly proportioned, and she had four arms. a drink in each hand, too. His kind of female, he decided instantly, even as she was looking admiringly at his folded snow-white wings. She wore some sort of gel suit, basically deep blue, but covered with a pattern like gold wire wrapped all over it, and dotted with little diamonds of contrasting subtly glowing red. Her whiskered mask was porcelain bone, studded with rubies and finished with iridescent badra feathers. Stunning perfume. She handed him a glass, and took off her mask to reveal eyes the size of opened mouths, eyes softly blackly featureless in the lustrous light of the vibrantly decorated dome. Until he'd looked carefully and seen the tiny hints of lights within their curved surfaces. The gel-filled suit covered her everywhere, except those heavily altered eyes, and a small hole at the back of her head where a plait of long, shiningly auburn hair spilled out. Wrapped in gold wire, it ended at the small of her back and was tethered to the suit there. She'd said her first name. The gel suit's lips had parted to show white teeth and a pink tongue. "Levitt," he'd replied, bowing deeply, but watching her face as best he could while he did so. She'd looked up at his wings as they'd risen up and towards her over the plain black robe he'd worn. He'd seen her take a deep breath. The lights in her eyes had sparkled brightly. "Ha, ha," he'd thought. The Homomdon ambassador had turned the riotously decorated stadium-sized bowl that was her residential quarters into an old-fashioned funfair for the party. They'd wandered through the acts, tents, and rides, he and she, talking small talk, passing comment on other people they passed, celebrating the refreshing absence of drones at the party, discussing the merits of whirligigs, shovelbubs, helter-skelters, ice flumes, quittle-traps, slicicles, boiling braces, airblows, tramples cups, and body flaggers, and bemoaning the sheer pointlessness of interspecies funny face competitions. She was on an improving tour from her home orbital, cruising and learning with a party of friends on a semi-eccentric ship that would be here as long as the festival lasted. One of her aunts had some contacts, and had swung an invitation to the ambassador's celebration. Her friends were so jealous. He guessed she was still in her teens, though she moved with the easy grace of somebody older, and her conversation was more intelligent and even shrewder than he'd have expected. He was used to being able to almost switch off talking to most teenagers, but he was having to race after her meanings and allusions at times. Were teenagers getting even smarter? Maybe he was just getting old. No matter. She obviously liked the wings. She'd asked to stroke them. He told her he was a resident of Tyr. Culture or ex-culture, depending how you wanted to look at it, it wasn't something he bothered about, though he supposed if forced, he felt more loyalty to Tyr, where he'd lived for 20 years, than to the culture, where he'd lived for the rest of his life. In the I'll-forget-it tendency that was, not the culture proper, which the tendency regarded as being far too serious, and not nearly as dedicated to hedonistic pursuits as it ought to be. He'd first come here as part of a tendency cultural mission, but stayed when the rest returned back to their home orbital. He'd thought about saying, "Well, actually, I was in the tendency's equivalent of special circumstances, kind of a spy, really. And I know lots of secret codes and stuff." But that probably wasn't the sort of line that would work with a sophisticated girl like this. Oh, much older than her, quite middle-aged, at 140. Well, that was kind of her to say so. Yes, the wings worked in anything less than 50% standard gravity. Had them since he was 30. He lived on an air level here with 30% gravity. Huge web trees up there. Some people lived in their hollowed-out fruit husks, though he preferred a sort of wispy house thing made from Chaltresa silk stretched over high-pressure thin booms. Oh, yes, she'd be very welcome to see it. Had she seen much of Tyr? Arrived yesterday, such good timing for the festival. He'd love to be her guide. Why not now? Why not? They could hire yachts. First, though, they'd go and make their apologies to the ambassador. Of course, he and she were old pals. Something to tell that aunt of hers. And they'd call by the cruise ship. Bring the others. Oh, just a little camera drone. Well, why not? Yes, Tyr's rules could be tiresome at times, couldn't they? Yes, yes, yes! That was him. She'd given one final ear-splitting shriek, and then gone limp, with just a huge grin on her gel-suited face. She'd kept it on. Another aperture had obligingly opened. Time to bring this bout to a climax. The yacht had served him before. It heard what he said, and took that as a signal to cut engines and go into freefall. He loved technology. The neural lace would have handled his orgasm sequence better, controlling the flow of secretions from his drug glands, so that they more precisely matched and enhanced the extended human basic physiological process taking place. But it was still pretty damn good all the same. His didn't last quite as long as hers obviously had, but he'd put it at over a minute easily. He floated, still joined to her, watching the smile on her face and the tiny dim lights in the huge dark eyes. Her fabulous chest heaved now and again. Her forearms waved round with a graceful undersea motion. After a while, one of her hands went to the nape of her neck. She took the gel suit's head off and let it float free. The deep, dark eyes stayed. The rest of her face was brown, flushed with red, and quite beautiful. He smiled at her. She smiled back. With the gel suit's head removed, a little sweat beaded on her forehead and top lip. He gently fanned her face with his wings, bringing them sweeping softly from behind his shoulders and then back. The huge eyes regarded him for a while. Then she put her head back, stretching and sighing. A couple of pink cushions floated past, bumping into her floating arms and ricocheting slowly away. The yacht's higher limit warning chimed. It wasn't allowed to stray too far from Tyr. He'd already told it to cruise back in when it hit the limit. It duly fired its engines, and they were pressed back into the slick, warm surfaces of the couches and cushions in a delicious tangle of limbs for a while. The girl wriggled with a succulent slowness, eyes quite dark now. He looked over to one side and saw the little camera drone she'd brought sitting on the ledge under one of the diamond viewports, its one beady eye still fastened on the two of them. He winked at it. Something moved outside in the darkness, amongst the slow-wheeling turn of stars. He watched it for a while. The yacht murmured, engine firing quietly. Some apparent gravity stuck him and the girl to the ceiling for a second or two, then weightlessness returned. The girl made a couple of small noises that might have indicated she was asleep, and seemed to relax inside, letting go of him. He pulled her closer with his arms while his wings beat once, twice, bringing them both closer to the viewport. Outside, close by, a ship was passing, heading inbound on its final approach for Tyr. They must have been almost directly in its path. The yacht's engine burn had been avoidance action. Leffert looked down at the sleeping girl, wondering if he ought to wake her so that she could watch. There was something magical about seeing this great craft going sliding silently by, its dark, spectacularly embellished hull slicing space just 100 meters away. He had an idea and grinned to himself, and stretched out his hand to take the little camera drone, currently getting a fine view of the lass's backside and his balls, and turn it round, point it out the viewport of the passing ship, so that she would have a surprise when she watched her recording. But then something else caught his attention, and his hand never did touch the camera drone. Instead, he stared out of the port, his eyes fastened on a section of the vessel's hull. The ship passed on by. He kept staring out into space. The girl sighed and moved. Two of her arms went out and drew his face towards her. She squeezed him from inside. "Hoo-ah!" she breathed, and kissed him, their first real kiss without the gel suit over her face. Eyes still enchanting. Oceanically deep and enchanting. Estrée. Her name was Estrée, of course. Common enough name for an uncommonly attractive girl. Here for a month, eh? Leffert congratulated himself. This could end up being a good festival. They started caressing each other again. It was just as good as the first time, but no better, because he still wasn't able to give the proceedings his full attention. Now, instead of trying to remember what the girl's name was, he couldn't stop wondering why there was an Alentia emergency message spattered minutely across the scar hull of an affronter light cruiser.